Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into BBS Radio. What a wonderful radio station it is, BBS Radio Online. So you've tuned into Radiance by Design, which is a show that my guides and angels like to use as a venue to talk to you. We want to talk to you about your life. We want to talk to you about what kind of issues you're having and how to rebalance you so that you can radiate into the world. And our radiance has a lot to do with our manifestation. For those of you who listen to The Secret, and we all heard a lot about The Secret for a while, it's sometimes our manifestation desires and visualizations and so on don't work as well. And that's because our subconscious, our unconscious, or our programming, simplistically put, our programming is also radiating something that works against that which you are trying to design in yourself and consciously. So here our program today is talking about how there's a lot of chaos out there, and there's a lot of people undergoing fast changes. Some of the planetary constructions, and I'm not an astrologer, have been very, very challenging lately as well. There's a lot of craziness going on in the world scene and so on. How do we handle change? We keep hearing that conscious evolution is really about taking charge of what you're doing at any given period, at any given moment, re-entering the now. Some of you are always in the now, but I always have to re-enter, as Jackie Salvitti would say, the now moment, which is a centering tool to use to separate yourself from the amazing vibrational demands of reaction. Where do our reactions come from? They come from past programming, karma, old experiences, childhood, and so on. And a lot of us just live a whole cocoon of reactive energies, and we find it really difficult to get right into our center and radiate out the true self and the authenticity of self, and to also work with creating the reality that you want. It's a very, very exciting time on the planet, because when we get clear, sometimes our creations can happen in a flash, in an instant, where you'll be just thinking something and bam, it happens. And other times you think that I'm going uphill, upstream, that what it is I want is just never going to happen because it just doesn't seem to happen and it doesn't seem to happen. That's when we really need to go in, get into the now, and also work with the kinds of issues that are pulling on you on a subconscious level. I had a strong affinity for a channel being named Mafu many years ago. Lost track with Mafu. And I learned a lot from the tapes. I just worked with his tapes. I never actually went to a workshop or a seminar of his. But I worked with his CDs and tapes for years and years. And recently I have come in touch with Mafu again. And he's coming on. In fact, the woman who channels him, his name is Penny, but they call her Amaguru at this point, is going to come on as soon as we've gone through some of their material again, their updated material. But one of the simple things that I love to say as I was watching the DVD she sent me, and I'm just thrilled because they're very high frequency energies and they're really strong teachings. Anyway, they're talking about how the subconscious is really full and rich. And those of you who have been listening to the Jackie Salvitti show, ET Healing, on Thursday night, have been following through as she keeps talking about the depth and the existence of beliefs and structures and substructures on a singular and a collective basis in the shadow. Right? So we're talking about that. And what Mafu was saying is that deep within the subconscious is very, very difficult to make changes. But two gateways to making changes, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, two of the gateways to your subconscious, and once you can relax enough to enter your subconscious, you can make changes. Lickety-split, you can make really rapid changes. Two of the gateways to it. Oh, goody, we have a caller. You just wait till I do my intro, and then I'll get you on the air. So two of the gateways to it are forgiveness, self-forgiveness, and first gateway would be forgiveness, and that requires a lot of self-forgiveness. And the other gateway is self-approval. And Mafu is saying that if you can get into a state of self-approval, and sometimes you have to go through a series of self-forgivenesses, then you could actually enter very easily your subconscious. Anyway, we have a caller, and I'm delighted about that. So good afternoon. You're on the air. It might be evening where you are.
Hey, Veronica. It's Vicki. It's still afternoon.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
Pretty good. I have to get away from my computer and then go use another phone. But you said something about gateways that
yes.
I got when I got on the phone and listened to your show.
Okay.
And I just kind of went through this huge... well, it wasn't huge. Well, to me it was. I'm an Aries. This
little drama there, honey.
self-forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you say the next step was self-acceptance?
Self-approval.
Oh, self-approval. Well, it's about the same thing.
It's very similar, although to me approval seems more dynamic than acceptance. I don't know how it seems to you, but that's how I felt.
I like the word better. It feels better, the approval part.
Yeah, it seems like it's a conscious act that we're doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I was calling to see, last time I called, which was some time ago, I've been working on clearing the blocks in my frontal lobe
mm-hmm.
with golden electrodes.
Good.
Yeah, and you know, it comes and goes. But I just wanted to check in with that.
You would like it just a reading on your energy fields?
Yeah.
You know what's... one thing about an Aries, you guys are usually funny. And I'll just interrupt your process for a minute to say that we're meeting another Aries at 5 o'clock, paradigm shifter Jill Ruttenberg, also from Tucson. Vicki's from Tucson, and she's a character in Aries as well. So stay
yes,
tuned
that's
or
right,
tune
is.
In. Yeah.
That's right, she is.
Yes. Anyway, so what I want to take a look at, Vicki, is that Vicki's frontal lobe, and that's the area in which you use your visualizations and the steps it takes to move forward into the world very dynamically. And, of course, we're talking about the subconscious, which tends to be, and this is very simplistic, this is thumbnail kinds of conversation for the sake of making things manageable. When I look at your frontal lobe, I also see the energies that are coming in through the frontal lobe that are programmed there, pulling way down deep in your belly area, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So there's the subconscious, and we're talking the gateway. So what you've got preventing some of the healing, not preventing it, but maybe slowing it down or perhaps complicating it a little bit, is the attachment to the second chakra, the belly area. Now, you can feel a certain amount of digestive energy right now. Can you feel that?
Yeah, and I've actually, over the last probably week or two, I've been having a lot of, you know, somebody says, oh, well, it sounds, it's second chakra stuff. I can just feel stuff moving around in there.
Well, I'll tell you this, Vicki, directly, it's related to the work you're doing on the frontal lobe.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, because everybody who's listening, remember this, you're a map. And you've got this amazing map of little, it's like a little road map of all these roads that run through the body. So we look at Vicki's frontal lobe and we see how he's got all these lines and energy channels running through the belly, through the heart, right up to the center actually,
right.
Pulling on your sternum.
Uh-huh.
And something about your kneecaps and in and around the knees, the back of the sides, back of the calves, I'm sorry.
Yeah, basically my whole body aches.
Oh, good, then we're doing a good job. And you got something in your feet, almost like they want to pronate. Is that the word when they step out, they reach?
They go sideways in
yeah.
different directions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was from walking in two worlds.
It probably is, because your frontal lobe, now apparently it's different. I'm working with a fellow who's doing some brain mapping. And those of us who are intuitive, he's finding that there's a discrepancy or there's differences between one person and another and where we access the intuitive in the brain. Now, that's a whole other discussion. I'll get Dr. Jeffrey Fannin on here one day to talk to us more about that.
Uh-huh.
But when I look at you, I say that your frontal lobe has a lot to do with the way you're bringing in intuitive energies as well. Do you understand that? Because
yes,
you have a big resistance in it.
Yeah, and I guess I'm trying to get to the resistance. And is it my soul resistance or my just... Aries resistance or... You know,
I'll tell you something about you. Being bossy as I am,
uh-huh.
I would say to you that your nature in this lifetime wants to make things hard.
Wants to do what?
Make it hard.
Oh.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that seems to be an MO.
Okay, so let's get back into self-approval. Because I feel like this whole resistance thing with you is that somewhere deep down, you're not really allowed to have it easy. And you're not really allowed to be all right or be in good shape. It's, I don't know why. It's like, I don't think it's other lives. I think it's something you brought in a shame and punishing fashion on yourself by the time you were about 10.
Well, you know, I did a meditation this morning, and I went into my second chakra, and it's the first time I've really seen my inner child, and she was wrapped in chains and ropes. And
oh, my.
Yeah, I thought that was, and when I went to her, I tried getting them off her. I thought, well, I can help her get these off. They would come off, but yet they would still wrap back around, and so I just decided to love her. And when I did, she turned into this huge bright light, and I ran in fear. And I think...
You ran in fear?
Yeah, it scared me, so I boogied on out of there.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm learning. And
No, wait, don't go past this right now. You ran in fear from her bright light?
I ran in fear from the light, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and that's probably a core thing, because now my heart is killing me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
And so just play with me. So why did you run? Just first thought.
My first thought is that it was just too big and probably too much responsibility, and I wasn't worthy. And
yeah.
That's about 600 thoughts, I know.
Okay, shame and...
Yeah.
And a fear of... fear
unworthiness.
I think that whole thing about responsibility is right, too. It's like, what's going to happen if I go with it?
You're right.
What am I going to have to be now?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
And
so let's go back into... Let's do a little bit of energy exercise that will include everyone. Because we can't do an hour's process with you, but I can sure see we have enough material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being evolved, being enlightened, and being able to transform or... release ancient programming isn't always an instantaneous job, although sometimes it is. And you know this, Vicki. Sometimes all of a sudden, ba-doing, there it goes.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Gone.
Right.
But it's when they're wrapped around various parts of the body, various energy parts, that it's really complex.
Uh-huh.
So let's everybody focus on the belly area and the subconscious, the second chakra. And let's ask to feel in there all the ways in which we feel, how about this? Wrap yourselves in light, everybody. You don't want to bring up everybody's stuff. But what the guides are saying is that I have to be confined. So just say that, because I have to be confined. What happens in the belly when you say that? I have to be confined. Because those chains and stuff, the guides are saying, is implies that whole thing. I should be, I have to be confined. It's what I deserve, it's what I am.
I get nauseous.
Okay. And people at home, what's happening with you? I hope you'll be calling in after Vicki. And I have to be confined. I have to be confined. To me, it seems like there's a really tight, tight thing just below your navel area, and it pulls back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's exaggerate that thing. And now notice how it pulls on your sternum up into your chest area.
Right.
It's almost like a big triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell me I'm wrong. I don't mind. I just am trying to give it
some
pulls
on my presence. Breath, too.
Okay. And let's exaggerate. I have to be confined. I have to be confined. And we're asking for help from our guides and angels. Actually,
oh, now I just want to fight. Can I fight?
Yep. Fight you with one hand behind my back. That's the lion in the Wizard of Oz, in case you don't remember, right? And let's look up in the frontal lobe whilst you're doing this confinement thing. Let's go up into the frontal lobe. Good, because there's a pulling going on all around the edges of that. Do you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's exaggerate. I have to be confined. I have to be confined. And we're asking for help from our guides and angels and higher selves as we command total release of that confinement now, total release. Yeah. It's not the confinement that's going to release itself. It's the feeling that I have to be confined, conscripted to be confined. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm left with here, let's command total release about the have to be confined again. Command total release. You have a lot of spirit guides around. You've got this wonderful, it's like a an edge, like a silver lining around a cloud. It's up around your whole body, and it's a gold, kind of a flamboyant little light that goes up and around your whole body and seems to imply a number of beings there being your support staff. So we're asking for some more help as we remove the I have to be confined feeling. Mm-hmm. And release it. And now let's drop into, and that, you know what? That makes your heart, does that make your heart hurt when we said to remove the part that says I have to be confined?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Because let's just make up why. Why would it hurt the heart so much?
Because the heart's been confined?
Yeah, I believe that it's something to do with if I stay confined, I won't really have to have a vulnerable heart.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's a safety in it, in being confined.
Yeah.
It's a safe place in that.
And what about everybody at home? There's somebody at home that I can see who's got almost like a big thick thing in her heart as a result of releasing that. So there we have another issue, which is the releasing of one's vulnerability when one releases at least the need for change, if not the change.
Right.
And let's call in the spiraling platinum light and the violet flames from Saint Germain. Yeah. And have the spiraling platinum light shoot through the top of your head and just swish through your entire body, Vicki, and have it split and go right down into the soles of your feet and into the earth. And the spiraling platinum light pops up from the earth and up through your feet and legs and right up through the entire body, up through to the great central sun. And now have the violet flames from Saint Germain burn and grow and burn and grow all around your body. So you're standing in the flames, it's wonderful, and it burns and transforms all the leftover thoughts and feelings. You know, I can feel it. Don't you feel it when we call in the violet flame?
Yeah, I love that violet. I use it a lot, actually.
And so we have to release you because otherwise nobody else will get
right.
a chance.
Right.
But I'm hoping that some of the listeners will call in, and I hope that people would get some release from that activity that we just did with you.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this, that you're... third eye and your frontal lobe are undergoing something right now, and it's not done yet. So if I were you, I'd keep running light there.
Okay.
And when in doubt, drop in and do some more belly clearing.
Mm-hmm.
That second chakra. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
And then send me an email, veronica@veronicaantwistle.com.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right, honey.
Blessings.
Blessings to you. But that was really powerful because that need to be confined is... It's like we would consciously say, I don't want to be confined. But really and truly, we have that tremendous need for it, don't we? And that confinement is a little bit of a security thing, I believe, in a lot of ways, is so that we can hold our persona, our identity, and even for some people, our victimization, steady and in place. Now, when I sent out my little flyer today, I said, chaos seems to have hit many lives these days. Do you feel that? Are any of you feeling chaotic or that there's chaos reigning? There's a whole bunch of financial things and the market plummeted and the real estate markets aren't going very well. People's sense of security, you know, it was really blasted by storms and fires and it's really been very chaotic for people. And I keep meeting people these days who are in transition, moving around, trying to find their home or their job. And they may not be particularly young. So I thought it was time to talk about that. We have a friend who is in her early 60s. I'm going to take this call, and then I'll finish my story in a bit. We're talking today about change, chaos, and staying centered. Welcome to Radiance by Design. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Judy.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Well, good. Good. I have this impulse. Well, when I received your email, I thought, you know, I need to listen today. Major changes, right?
Right on. You're the girl in major changes.
Yep.
So
I actually just have a fast question because I'm sure you have a lot of other callers that would like to come in. as you know, I've been going through a lot, and Jason's father is coming up to visit.
Oh,
talk about chaos.
Do you want to tell people who Jason is and who his father is?
Pardon?
Would you like to tell people who Jason and who...
Oh, yeah. Well, Jason's my son, and his real father has been far removed from both of us for roughly 20 years. Neither one of us has seen him in that span of time. A lot of issues surrounding it. His demeanor is pretty reminiscent of the way it was before, and so I felt that it would be a good idea for him to come up here first, where we have the home court advantage, versus Jason just going there by himself. And I'm a little concerned.
And Jason's 26?
Yeah, well, 26. He just turned 27.
Okay. And his father was, for people at home, was very abusive. And he hasn't seen him for many, many years and shouldn't have seen him for many years. So there needs to be a healing or a forgiveness for this situation. And Jason
Correct.
Appears, Judy, to be kind of scared or a little shatterable right now, is he?
I mean, sad? Is that what you said?
He feels shaky.
Yeah, he is feeling actually quite nervous. You know, his term was, he's freaking me out, Mom.
Okay.
So I shifted the energy a little bit so that he would perhaps feel a little bit more secure, even though he's a 27-year-old man. You know, with him coming up here first, and then if he feels compelled, he can go down there and spend more time with him.
Well, it's very interesting because for everybody at home as well, it's really important to remember that when you meet someone from a period of your life that's passed, you very often drop into that, you know, we talked about how many programs are stored in our body. You kind of drop into the vibrational reality of that program.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's total healing, which in this case is not quite, because Jason needs the experience of seeing his father, even if he can't stand him and never sees him again. He needs it. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to help him a lot. Now, his dad is very shaky himself. He's not really okay. Do you know what I mean? He's very unwell, and he almost like his central nerve, almost like he's a little bit not demented, like he's got that aging brain that doesn't work too well.
That is probably the best way of, if that's a good assessment.
And the thing about him is that he is seeking forgiveness. Do you know that?
Yes.
And
it actually has been given to him, but he is pursuing ghosts at this point. Ghosts with me is really having a difficult time releasing the Judy of 20 years ago, and still feels that he has some deep-seated love for me, and so that's been a focal for him. And my concern is that he's going to come up here and make that the focal, yet his healing, although I agree that he and I have healing that needs to happen, it's definitely more strong for Jason to heal with him than it is for me.
Well, I'll tell you
this.
The guides are showing this, is that there needs to be a discussion with him and you, which has nothing to do with Jason. A. B. He and Jason are going to have some one-on-one that has a huge impact, and that's what we want.
Okay, a good impact then.
I would say that it gives Jason back something of himself.
Okay, so he gets to take back his power, maybe.
Yeah, and I feel like his dad is actually very fragile, very frail.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like Jason himself will be a little bit touched by his father in a rather emotional but objective way, meaning I don't see him conscripted to being like, oh, Daddy, I have to be with you. I don't see that. I see
no,
more like it's a completion.
I don't see that either.
Yeah, it looks more like a completion for him. And as,
okay.
For his poor father, I have to say that he is really a fragile and kind of lost soul, you know?
He is. He. I suppose what I found really shocking is through this whole thing, and he's really only been back in our lives about a month and a half, is he is pretty much exhibiting the same behavior patterns, the same communication. And I thought, how does someone stay stuck 20 years ago, has not moved forward at all?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, we're having pretty much the same conversations that we had 20 years ago, and that I found very disturbing.
Was he in jail?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He just looks like he's been, we were just talking about confinement. I don't know if you heard about that. But
yes.
he just is like, it's like with people with drugs and people with certain jail kinds of approaches do not grow emotionally during that period of time. And, you know, that he just, he needs forgiveness. He needs something about his shame and his own evolution. He needs to come out of something. And because you're very intuitive and you're a strong healer, you can help him with that. Don't misplace who you are, because his opportunity to get close to you is more about unhooking what's left rather than developing a new rapport with you.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping. That's my intention with him, is that once he sees me, that all of that will go away for him, that he'll be able to go, oh, well, this is not the same Judy. She's 20 years older, you know, and break out of that shell that he has somehow created, or rather his own personal jail. He has an abusive mentality, and I suppose what I'm really looking for here is, are we physically safe meeting him
yes.
at this stage?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what
concerns.
His abuse, beg your pardon?
I have concerns because there was domestic abuse issues between us.
I'm not really worried about that. I feel like he's just not mentally that strong. He's just not mentally okay.
Okay.
And he's living a kind of an illusion and a delusion. And
yeah.
It's very
exactly.
sad. I feel more sad delusional. For him than I do for any, you know, the perpetrator is often one who's more hurt than.
I know.
And not to excuse, you know.
No. I agree with you. He has created his own personal jail, and his own, where he is in his head, is actually quite disturbing. And I'm disturbed by it, and I know Jason is disturbed by it, and I definitely think he is disturbed by his reactions. And, you know, anyway, thank you for that, because he's going to be here in, I think, the 30th.
Well, let's all send light, because when you know this already, Judy, but for everybody at home as well, let's just send a vision, send a picture, a visualization of this gentleman who has been quite an abuser and has had jail time and has had very little of his life left over. Let's see if we can send some lights of peace to him. And then something about your reaction and interaction with him to create peace for both of you, and for Jason to send a vision that Jason finds a whole part of himself in his rapport with his dad, and that everyone's safe, and that he returns to where he comes from feeling a little more complete.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that that's what he really needs. And I wouldn't want to see you spending a whole lot of time alone with him, but I don't see him as really dangerous right now.
Okay, so that's,
his thinking
that
is pretty crazy.
That was a big concern, just because, and it brings up, of course, you know, the ghost in the closet.
Yeah, you bet.
It's up for healing, and that, so I looked at that, and I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess I need to heal that part of me, the fear aspect of being in an unsafe environment with somebody that was an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess the little remnants of peeling away the onion.
And
pulling
also,
it out, I think that's one of the things that you taught me so well is I kept cutting those hooks with scissors, you know, in the visualization, but you said, no, Judy, you need to pull it out.
Yeah, I don't like the cutting thing.
Yeah, no, you were right. And I didn't realize that by cutting, I was leaving those hooks. So that's just another piece that needs to be pulled out.
But one reminder is don't do it alone. Please be with other people when you're visiting with them.
Oh, no, Jason's going to be with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I already told Jason that I don't want to be alone with him. Or if we are, if he needs a moment to speak with me alone, that it's in a public place and he's nearby. So
yeah, I think that I don't think he's got the chutzpah anymore to be anything, but he's a little psychotic, you know what I mean? His
yeah.
Brain. And
no,
so,
he is definitely. I believe that he is suffering from psychosis.
Yeah, and so you just need to be safe, and that's all. And otherwise,
okay.
I believe there's a completion here, Judy. For
thank
you,
you,
for all three of you.
Oh, I can breathe through this one then.
Yeah, but
good.
A lot of us will hold light on that. Keep us posted.
I will.
All right.
I will.
Many blessings.
All right. Thank you, Veronica. We'll talk soon.
Hopefully, yes. Take
all
care.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Now, that's really interesting because we talked about the entrance into the subconscious being through forgiveness and self-forgiveness. Now, people who are intense abusers, there's something very interesting when I'm watching in this particular discussion. His brain pattern, like remember Vicky called in about her brain pattern. She's been working on her frontal lobe and unhooking old programs. Well, his brain pattern is really very strange. And in behind his frontal lobe over to, I would say, the left temporal lobe, but almost right into the corpus callosum, I see some really interesting sort of strange compressions or something, as if he's got some really deep reactive energy. And that's why I would say we wouldn't want to be all alone with him. But the thing is that if people have that kind of damage or that sort of imprint in the brain, you probably can't sit and talk to them about self-forgiveness. So it's really about protecting yourself and radiating a higher level and to the best of your ability, hearing him to forgive him. But don't put yourself in really dumb situations. Wow, that's a little bit chaotic, too. He pops out of the blue. And I know that they've had, these are people I know, and they've had huge times in their legend with him. And boy, he's gone through his own pain for sure. All right, so let's do a, and I love your calls. Keep calling. I like that the best. And let's do a structure. A structure is a really powerful vibrational, it's a sacred geometric vibrational healing tool that you can set up these structures in order to maintain a sense of safety and a buffer between you and the rest of the world. So let's do a structure. If you want to manifest, it's a great lab to do your manifestation activities in. I do these every day, and they really make a difference. So let's imagine above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. And now below your spine, perhaps 20 feet, another golden ball. And then draw a filament of radiant, radiant light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Excellent. And now in front of you, perhaps 40, 50 feet, we're going to see the bow of a ship. And that ship goes right past your body. It's about 40 feet in front of your body, goes past your body at about 8 feet width from the body, and then to about 20 feet behind your body. So you've got this deck of a ship pointing 40 feet ahead and 20 feet behind. And it's a neat ship, isn't it? And now from the sides of the ship, from the upper golden ball down to the sides of the ship, drop a myriad of pink, radiant filaments of light. And now you're on the deck of a ship, and you've got this canopy over your head. And it's really radiant. You can feel it. And now from the side of the ship to the lower golden ball, drop many, many, many filaments of light again, so that you have a radiant canopy pointing down. And now there in the center, in the center, as soon as I finish the structure, I'll have you on the air, so just hold it for a minute. In the center of the ship, there you are, and there's a great ball around you, a crystal ball. I want you to feel the energy of that crystal ball around you. And inside of that, you're in a double tetrahedron. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And now you're in the double tetrahedron. Now find yourself spinning and spinning and spinning in this double tetrahedron, spinning and spinning. And as you spin, see on in front of you a magical screen. Good. And now you're spinning and spinning in your double tetrahedron, but in front of you, that's still, see a magical screen. And on that screen, create little movies of everything you want to create in your life, whether it's about finances, selling a house, building forgiveness in relationships, healing, health. You can also bring in people that you're concerned about and you're trying to be supportive of and see things working for them in all of these little movies on this screen. Now remember, you're still spinning in your double tetrahedron and you're making all these movies of yourself, your creativity, you're moving forward in life. Excellent. And now, you know, when you're on your own, you can do this for like half an hour. But create, one of the things about creating these wonderful movies on this magical screen is always feel your own presence in them. Feel them. Don't just look at them, but feel them. And now move back into the consciousness of your double tetrahedron. Give it a few more whirls and spins. And come back in the room. How's that feel? When you do that, you actually protect yourself as you go out into the world. And for Judy and Jason and anybody else who's trying to do something that's really dynamic and really advancing their consciousness as well, it's a really amazing support to have in anything you want to manifest. All right, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted. How you doing?
Oh, okay. Okay. I just have fears that come up around finances. And one of them is I'm doing gold options and stuff, and I was just, this other fellow that's in this whole thing is, you know, thinks that the whole bottom is really going to fall out, and all of a sudden a lot of this stuff that is just going to, that's paper, is just going to turn into nothingness. So I had a fear about that.
You know something, Ted? First of all, I don't think it is. And
yeah.
Part of the reason is my... should I say this, Bob? What the guides have been saying lately is a lot of it is being engineered.
Uh-huh.
Which means that they're going to make sure that there's some... Now, I'm not a paranoid kind of person, and I'm not necessarily a conspiracist. However, my guides have been saying it is engineered. So,
uh-huh.
And they said also that gold... it's going to be very volatile for a while, that
uh-huh.
some of it's going to be dumped on the market and it will go down in price, and that it, my guides have said it's not a very good investment right now.
Uh-huh.
Unless you've got enough to buy it, like a whole ton of real gold, which you keep in your basement, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But don't tell anybody if you do that.
Okay. Well,
because the value of real gold holds. But in terms of just the investment part of it, apparently there's something strange about it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you understand that?
Sure, sure. Well, the other thing kind of connected to that is I just would like to develop my whole intuition around that. And one thing I use periodically, or I don't know, is my pendulum. So, and I was wondering if I could just develop that and how I might do that to help with financial...
How are you with the pendulum?
Oh, so. I don't know. A lot of times I'll ask it questions that I can't verify. Like, you know, should I go to this dentist or that dentist? Or, you know, who knows what the other one would have been like. I don't have so much confidence in myself with it.
Do you ask it if it's right? I mean, because sometimes if you're pendling, first of all, my first thing is I've often had the ability to run the pendulum with my desires, meaning I'll get great answers, but that
is
what I want.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, that means you've got a certain power, haven't you?
Sure.
You can get the pendulum to talk about what your desires are. Okay. So when you can do that, you can practice saying, like, for example, these are my desires, and get it to really respond. Now you can start playing with it about whether it's the truth or is this my desire.
Okay.
Do you do that?
Okay.
And you can also ask it, are you right? The other thing is making sure you're asking in the name of the higher, in the name of Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit. I mean, really do some big praying before you use it, because I find that really straightens things out.
Okay. Okay. Good idea.
And sometimes I'll say, is this the truth? It goes, no. So is that the truth? Who knows, right?
So just asking if that's my, is this really just my desire?
Yes. Yeah, if it's true. And always ask if it's in the name of Jesus or who you pray to. I'm not preaching Christianity here. I'm just saying who is a high entity, a high being, and use holy names around it, because, I mean, it's really important to test these things.
Yeah.
And I really think the pendulum is an amazing reflection of consciousness that's in ourselves already.
Okay.
Now, I know I have friends who just believe in it all the time, so they have a different access than I do.
Sure.
But I've always fallen back on nothing, finally, because that's what works best for me.
Uh-huh.
I think because some of us who have, and I don't remember your astrological stuff, but you have very fast-moving energy and so on, and some of us who have a very fast intellect will probably take charge of it more, you know, like run it that way. Maybe people who are a little more trusting or something will get better results.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But I look at you and I go, you know, you do really well asking it again and again for, is this the truth? Because what happens in your body is you start to understand when it's responding to your desire. You'll start feeling and knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want is more intuition, so that really enhances your intuitive ability right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, you're going to do some really good work with investments in a while, and I don't know why. It's like you're going to suddenly pick up speed and actually be able to trust yourself more.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now I'm working on that.
You know, I know that there are a bunch of intuitives that do that work, and I don't know any of them. I remember seeing a panel of them one time, but you might want to Google them and see if you can find, maybe get a training.
Okay.
Because I see you breaking into something that you're going to do that has to do with, is it commodities you're working in?
Yeah.
It seems like you're going to break open and start to be much faster with that probably next year.
Okay.
And we may as well, because one of the things that's going on right now is security is shifting. You can't count on what was. And the frequencies are moving faster, and people are either messing up faster or creating faster, right?
Yeah.
And one of the tools to use when we're creating faster is our intuitive knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think you do?
No. But I think I have the potential, and I think, yeah.
You really do have it. We have to get our intellect out of the way to really let it rain, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
sure.
Do you do a lot of meditation?
I have been meditating for quite a long time. I'm using the Brain Master business, and I do chanting and stuff, but I don't do it for very long. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go maybe 15 minutes. But I've been.
Well, just do some of it before you do pendling.
Okay.
Because the more you clear, like chanting, for example, shifts the brain frequencies, and then you get more of an opportunity to bring in higher consciousness.
Yeah.
We're always interfering with the higher consciousness. It's always there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Ted. Keep us posted.
Okay, sure enough.
Next time you call in, you can tell us all what kind of stuff we should buy.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, thanks for being there, Ronnie.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was an interesting one. I started to say I have access to a lot of people, which you know, because I do readings, I do sessions, I work with people and help them empower themselves. Oh, all over the world. I have a lot of clients and so on, and I'd love to give you a session if you want one. I'm Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle, EntwistleE.com. Or here's a phone number, 510-595-5564, 510-595-5564. I love to work with people, and I've noticed lately, and some of my clients and friends are beings who, in their late 50s, early 60s, are having to uproot and find a new career, a new place to live and be, and that is a humongous challenge. But one of the things that's really interesting about this period of time is that there are a lot of seniors, a lot of people that are going to live a whole lot longer, provided we don't blow the whole world up. But there's a lot of people that are going to live a whole lot longer. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage to look yourself in the eye at 60 years old and begin a new life. But it can be done. And I would love to hear from more of you who are doing this. I know of three people right now, women particularly, who are having to do that. And one of the things I want to remind everybody is when, and we're all in some new phase anyway, aren't we? Not everybody's in such an extreme one, but there are a lot of people who are losing their, perhaps their houses or their investments or their jobs, the way the economy is going. And there's a number of things to do, and one of them, I always want us to do the structures on a regular basis or do strong meditative work. Because indeed, the clearer you get your meditative energy, that's the higher frequency energy, the clearer you are about moving aside all the beliefs and sub-beliefs that you've accrued through the years, centuries, millions of years, and you get the chance to see who you are, what it is you can do, and how to create the world that you want. The more you do all of that kind of work, which is meditation, clearing, centering, clearing, 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 the more you can create and design a new world. So we'll talk about that again over the next few weeks, I'm sure, because I just keep seeing people doing that. Talking about changing jobs, when Bush got elected, or did he get elected, but anyway, when Bush came in the second time, my dear friend Jill Ruttenberg packed up her family in Tucson, Arizona. Now, Jill is a massage therapist. She's an herbalist. She's a healer. She's a wonderful singer, and she could probably sing and play in a bar forever and make her way. Anyway, she's a very talented woman and was a friend of mine there, and she's still a friend of mine, in fact, but she's not there anymore. Anyway, as soon as Bush got in, she packed her family up, and they left town. They went over to Costa Rica. And what she's always wanted to do was do a healing center. Many of us who are healers have wanted to do a healing center, and some of us haven't done it yet. But Jill did. She went to Costa Rica, and she started a place called Ama Tierra. I talked about this last week, but we had trouble getting hold of Jill. But she started a place called Ama Tierra, which means a number of things. It can mean loving the land. It can mean... I forget what else it means. Tierra means the land, but in any case, this place is a wonderful holistic retreat center where people go and take clients, and they might have they might take over the retreat center and have this amazing organic food and music and sound healing and massages and herbs and so on while they're there. But the retreat is a place where you can go to infuse yourself with healing vibrations, whether they come from the earth, whether they come from the sky, whether they come from your food, whether they come from the ambiance of people focused in a common intention in a place, a common intention to heal and be on retreat. So Jill is going to be my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock, and I want you all to tune in and talk to her. You can actually call her if you'd like. She's got lots to say, and I guess it was quite a horrendous thing at times. And what's different about Costa Rican people than people here? We're talking about so much. We're talking about the collective consciousness and how... Oh, and there was one other thing I wanted to talk about today, too. Talking about the collective, they say that yesterday is one of the most depressing days in our country. Is it our country? And there are a number of reasons for that. But anyway, it's all about depression, and many, many people are feeling depressed. And some of the stuff I read said that many people are Googling or looking up various websites to understand depression. This is a country in which many, many people have compared to other countries in the world, and yet we're one of the most depressed nations in the world. Is that not interesting? What do you think that's from? You think that's from a drive when our needs are met to a degree anyway, then we seek self-actualization? But it's interesting to me that if the announcement comes by the news that this is the most depressing day of the year and everybody's being depressed, what do you think happens in the collective? I think we start breathing it in. I think we start feeling like we need to be depressed. I really feel like people start believing that it's a very, very depressing world. I'm not saying that it isn't in some ways, but some ways it isn't, is it? Anyway, I think that's really an interesting concept. Have you seen anything about that, how depression is a big deal right now? I just find it interesting that the collective itself, or one of the things that we have to learn as people who wish to transform our species or wish to transform ourselves enough to have an impact on the species, we realize that the collective, that's the vibrational stuff that goes around the world, the collective is so full of the thoughts and feelings of bazillions of people under all kinds of duress and even joie de vivre. But that's something that runs through our veins, it runs through our cells, it runs through our consciousness. And very often, just to think for yourself is a mighty job. It's a humongous job that means that we have to do an awful lot of work to pull away from the fields, the vibrations, and the belief structures that are kind of floating around, that we're breathing in, kind of like fish in the water. We breathe in from the collective. And what does it take for us to separate ourselves from that collective? And I would say a lot of meditation work, breathing, physical activity, foods by choice, making constant, constant choices about what you put in your brain, you put in your mouth, you put in your air and your environment. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I've had a wonderful time. Thank you very much for your calls. And let's all thank each other for listening. And why don't we all take just a minute and send a beautiful, and let's call in from the higher, a beautiful golden light, and have it come in through the top of your head and circle around in your body and fill your heart, and have it circle round and round in your body and send this golden light of love and possibility out and have it go bing, bing, and touch as many people as you can imagine right now until you've got that golden light of love, of expansion, of expression of the divine moving all over the world. Because we're sending blessings. And isn't it a blessing to know that you're going to be a contributor to this great collective? I'm going to say goodbye for now, and I'm coming back on at the top of the hour where we're going to talk to my dear friend, Jill Ruttenberg from Costa Rica. We'll see you in 4 minutes.